Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you this morning. Thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you, Father, that we can experience, we can know that you are there. And I pray, Father, that in increasing measures, you will reveal yourself to us in ways that will make sense to each one. I thank you, Lord, that through Jesus Christ, the middle wall of separation and division has been removed, the veil is torn, and the presence of God has opened up so that everyone through Christ Jesus may enter in with boldness and experience the fullness of God. We thank you for your presence. Come on, just say Jesus. Just say Jesus. We thank you, Father, that through your presence, through your name, through your sacrifice, we can have all things in Christ. Amen. Amen. Chantal and I, as pastors do, you visit people and you're a pastor. And being a pastor, you're always sort of called to hear of a crisis or something that is just happened or whatever. And life has been a few battles. Is anyone there that can relate to that? Whether it's not suddenly a sudden illness, suddenly someone has to be hospitalized. We had two or three cases of that this week. Some of our members in our church are battling cancer and fighting that battle by faith and trusting God for healing. Some people are battling some enormous financial battles where you just look at these sort of crises and you go, how on earth is there going to be a solution? It's just so hard, so very, very difficult. And because of that, I want, by means of a reminder, speak on the empowering grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's so important that in times like this that we have a supernatural understanding of how life works. Now, if you look at, you know, calamities happening to people, and sometimes those calamities and hardships are because of your own fault, your own wrongdoing. And then sometimes you have to face that. And if maybe sometimes habits that have to change, if you suddenly appear before a doctor and he says to you, well, sir, it's now the end of that sugar. You shall have no more sugar from this day forward, you know. And then sort of a wake-up call that you now realize, wait a minute, I have to make some lifestyle adjustments. And then sometimes even in terms of economic challenges, it is so that sometimes economic challenges come because of foolish decisions you've made. You know, just simple things like being on time, having a good attitude, no matter how hard, you know, how bad you feel, how sick you are, those sort of consistency is important for the workplace, you know. So if you make emotional decisions and you know, just go off job or work for no proper excuse and so forth, you don't give your full weight, maybe you have a bad attitude, well, that will lead into some economic challenges. And so therefore you have to deal with that. But I want to talk this morning about many, many people who are struggling and facing hardship where they've not been guilty. Because that also happens. And if you think about this, throughout the Bible, you will find that you have the enslavement of the Jews for 400 years under Egypt. And many, many, many people suffered as a result of Jacob, his sons, not following after the way of the Lord, falling away. And obviously also of an Egyptian ruler who was taking advantage of God's people. And so they in slavery for 400 years. And God had to send a savior by the means of Moses. And then throughout the biblical history account, you again hear of the Syrians and then the Babylonians and then the Persians and all these sort of leaders and world powers was given by God. It's like God allowed them to become so powerful so that they could enslave the people, the Babylonian captivity for 70 years. And again, there were a lot of innocents. So I want you to just for a moment think about this, that in economic times like this, where we live under a government who are possessed by a spirit of entitlement, who are possessed by a spirit of the glorification of victimhood, where you think you can get something without earning it. And, you know, that just goes so far. I would think, and I remember I spoke to Pete Dreyer years ago, and Pete Dreyer was the former CEO of Amos Agreman, and in a very, him and his wife couldn't have children, and they decided that they're going to adopt, and then they decided a radical decision that as a white family they're going to adopt a black girl, a black young baby, and this girl grew up in their home, and in many ways she grew up like any other teenager would and so forth, and she would begin to excel in swimming particularly and starting to win prizes and, you know, getting achievements and so forth for her swimming. Eventually she came into the finals to actually get into, I think it was the Transvaal colors or something, and then she got the colors, and then she heard she didn't get the colors because of her merit, because of her winning the other athletes. She got it because of her color, and she went back and she gave it back to them and says, "What do you think of me? Do you take me so low that you think that I deserve something that I haven't earned just because of my color? I want to achieve something because I actually got it, and I achieved it by color." And I went, "Yeah, that's the right attitude." And unfortunately, that's not the case with some people, you know. And don't make it a color thing. There are some white people that are entitled to that feel, "You need to talk to me like this. You don't talk to me. Do you know who I am? I'm white." As if that means anything. You know, so we have all these sort of things. And then particularly in our country is a disease that I have to say that has slain and has suffered and has a consequence of many innocents currently are struggling as a result of this. And this is where people are promising things that they can't deliver. You say you're going to pay your accounts and you don't. You make arrangements that you can't pay your accounts, and then you say, "By the end of the month, I will pay you," and then by the end of the month, when you can't pay, you just sort of let it pass. Instead of phoning, it says, "Sorry, I promise you that I will pay by the 30th. I can't, so I'm going to ask extension for another 2 weeks, and can I have that extension?" "Yes, sure, you can," and then you do it. You communicate, say amen. And we've grown in a society that even in business, you ask for a quote, so someone comes and they quote you for a job, and then the moment you get the job, they add a whole lot of things to the job, and then they want to pay the same as you've quoted. I know this is not happening in this life. Not in Clan William, all right? But how many of you know? Because of that, our words means nothing. Our promises means nothing. It's interesting how many people nowadays submit CVs. And they put, you know, things they've studied or certificates that they've studied, which they haven't done. They haven't acquired their degrees. And so they're overextending themselves. They're selling themselves over. And, you know, another problem with this is that we as individuals are also selling us over because we are living a lifestyle we can't afford. Do you know that that's also a means of deceit? You look at the corrupt leaders, but if you are living above what you can actually afford, you need to lower your standards. It's just one of those things. And there's nothing about it that's evil. It's just called life. But as a result of all the things that I've been sharing at the moment, and I'm not getting any amens this morning, is as a result of this, thousands, possibly even millions, are suffering. And like in all these battles, the Babylonian battle, the Egyptian battle, the Persians, there were faithful people that also struggled. And now the question is, now what shall we do, Houston? Houston, we have a problem. All right, is that one of the Apollo 13s that had some problems? So how many of you, kan ek dit sien, as julle met my? Ek praat nou wel Engels, maar die boere, hulle translate in die spoed van lig op die oomblik in hulle koppe. Weet julle waarvan ek praat? So how many of you have had this question, life isn't fair. All this doing good is not paying off. You know, I've been a good person and I still lose my job. Or, you know, this harvest is still bad. And, you know, I've wanted that there could be a good outcome in this business and it didn't work out. Hey, we're living in a time of judgment. We have to wake up to that. The whole world has decided to rebel against God, curse God on every television program. The word Jesus Christ is the most used curse word on television. Do you think that all of that will have no consequences? And we raise our kids without God. We don't take our children to school or to Bible school or to church. We take them to school. Jy sal skool toe gaan. But when you say to him, you shall go to church. No, he has a choice. Shame. My parents, you know, they demanded me to go to church. Well, look where you are. You shall brush your teeth. But you don't make that command when it comes to being and going to church. Figure that out for me. Okay, not getting amens this morning. Huh? Not seeing many young people on our Bible course at the moment. I said the Jesus course is for who? Young people. You study mathematics and I don't know what else you study, which every single child will tell me they will forget by the end of the matric. They tell me that. Honestly, all the stuff we've learned at school, we forget. But we don't go to Bible school. And we don't study the Word. That's why many young people don't have an appetite for the Word. The moment you read scriptures that is like 3 verses, 4 verses, this is getting very long. They don't have an appetite for the Word. You know why? Because they're not spending time in the Word. If you ask people, where's Hosea in the Bible or Zephaniah? Is that in the Bible? Jude, you know Jude? Where's Jude? Quickly find Jude. Quickly. 5 seconds. Find Jude. Without your phone. 5 seconds are over. All right? We don't know our Bible. Where's the Bible books? All right. So that's the negative part of the sermon. Just say amen on that. All right. So now I'm getting into the positive side. So the question is, if that is the case, if that is the truth, all I've said so far, how are we going to survive and not only survive, but thrive? Anyone wants to know? We don't only want to survive. We want to thrive in these difficult times, like a Daniel. He thrived in a Babylonian system. Nehemiah, Ezra, Esther, these people thrived within that very darkness and very difficult times. Amen? It's interesting that, furthermore, let me just do one before I get positive. Another sort of reality check that we have to do, asking all these questions about life and, you know, the unfairness of everything. Well, how many of you discovered that you only have what you've got in this life? All right? So if you've been issued certain IQ, certain, you know, personality, that you, and how many of you know that you have your personality? That's the one thing I wish you can change, but every one of us have one personality and we're born with that. natural personality. Some people are fast, some people are slow, some people are dominant, some people are introverts, some extroverts, all those sort of things. That's what you've got. Furthermore, you got your age. Unfortunately, you know, and you have this body. I mean, that's it, man. That's, you know, I wish I could upgrade it, but that's it. And, you know, and then you have your family. I mean, like, I don't like you, but I have you. You know, it's like, there you go. I've been born to this family, and my fun is oorstazen. Ach, liebe Jesus, help me. At one point, I thought I'm going to change it because the Americans can't pronounce my surname to John East. There you go. That's the cowboy version of my name. Because the Americans, they can't say oorstazen. So, I spoke to my mom yet. I said, you know, why Jan? I mean, Jan. It could have been John, you know. Or, but now it's very interesting. It's only three letters, but I get all kinds of different pronunciations. The Americans called me Jan. I like that. That's sort of quite cool. And then you get some people in our community call me Jan. Jan. You know, and then some call me Jan. All kinds of stuff. But, now, this is also part of today's sermon. Is, well, you've got what you've got. There's some things that you have that you can improve, and there's some things that you have to accept. Is anyone there? That's life, and you have to be sober about it. You have to think about it so that you know, well, that's it. All right? So, who's ready for the positive? All right. Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51. So we're speaking about God's empowering grace, particularly in difficult times. God's empowering grace. And I shared this verse. It was totally unplanned. Wednesday morning, I was with the group in Lambeth Bay, and we were having a women's meeting. And literally 5-6 seconds before Bettina asked me to come and speak, and I had actually something else in mind, the Holy Spirit reminded me of the scripture. And I share this, and I'm going to share some thoughts on you. Isaiah 51, verse 1. It says, listen to me, you who follow after righteousness. Those who follow after righteousness. Look to the person next to you. Those who follow after righteousness. All right, there you go. There's ons. You who seek the Lord, look to the rock that you've been hewn from, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Did you know? Het julle boere geweet daai verse in die Bybel? It's volgend, it's like Bible exploration. We're reading scriptures we've never heard before. All right, this is a beautiful, beautiful verse that I think deserves his own sermon. But it basically means this. The way you've been born, the place you've been born, who you are, your name, your surname, your family, your parents, your upbringing, the people that were surround you, that is significant. Look to the rock that you've been hewn from. Look to the place that you come from. And for me, it's a long, beautiful, well, my story is not beautiful, and yours is also beautiful, but for me, when I didn't like my name, I didn't like even my parents because I was adopted and I didn't always like my mother and father. I thought I was like in a strange family and I don't fit in and all of this. And then as I grow older and I heard these scriptures and I began to understand who Christ is within me, I began to understand, well, Jan means grace. Okay, that's good. All right. Then oorstazen meant all the scriptures that people coming from the East applies to me. No, literally, there's a few verses in our ministry where God called Chantal and he says, I'm calling you from the East. And I went, that's me, oorstazen. See, mense wat bly in die ooste. Hulle huis is in die ooste, oosthuizen. Literally what it means. Then I found my birth date is 30-12-1970. So 30 is the number for priesthood. Well, I'm in a ministry. 12 is a number for government. I'm an apostle and a leader in a church, and I'm always busy with government. And 70 is nations. I love nations. Right there, man, look to the rock that you've been hewn from. Huh. Then I look at my father and mother who adopted me, and that wasn't all that nice. I tried to walk away from home twice. Ek het weggeloop twee keer. Maar I have a big problem. I like food. So after 5 hours, I hastily returned because of the lack of food. Very simple, you know. It's a way to boys. Let me tell you, girls. Boys are so predictable. Just make them food. They love you. Can I get the boys to say amen? All right. So then I realized, wait a minute. I'm adopted. But the fact that I adopted made me personally, and I wouldn't have had that if I wasn't adopted, is the church literally, physically became my family. I have found sisters and siblings in Christ, in the church. Friends, family, opas and omas, what's that? Grandparents and grandparents. All of that. Mama Agnes and Baya Anna, which became like my true family. Just like, and it's for me more intense than maybe for others who have come out of a beautiful family. And so again, say, look to the rock that you've been hewn from. Now furthermore, in the scripture it says, and the whole of the pit from which you were dug. Well, it means the way that you've been saved and that what you've been saved of becomes your destiny. How many can relate with that? If God set you free from alcohol, He suddenly begins to use you to help other people to be set free from drug abuse and alcohol abuse. If He saved you as out of a broken marriage and out of a broken relationship, you begin to minister to others with broken relationships. If God healed you from cancer, you have empathy for others who are struggling with it, and you can begin to use. Say, look to the rock that you've been hewn from. Now, remember, I'm talking about grace. So what happens usually when all these bad things happen to us? We feel, where's the grace? Al die moeilikheid is besig om my te tref en is nog nie 12 uur nie. You think all the grace has disappeared. No, I'm preaching this morning to remind you of the grace that you have. Say amen. Regardless of these bad things you happen, how many of you can say this morning with, come on, with some boldness, thank God for my family. Thank you, God, for the rock that I've been hewn from. Thank you, God, for a mother who's been praying for me. Come on, we can just rejoice with. Thank you, God, for parents who served you. Thank you, God, for the place that I come out of, the things you've set me free, has become a what? Start with a G. What am I preaching on? Grace. Okay, that was an idiot moment. Okay, I'm sorry. That's being very bad. Sorry, Jan. Okay. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9. We all know this. Beautiful, beautiful. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. Weakness. Guys, memorize this line. Memorize this line. His grace is always sufficient. Come on, who can testify of that? All right? Bad things happen. Don't look at what has happened. Look at what hasn't happened. Come on. This is bad, but wow, it could have been. There's grace. Always when I'm in crisis, every time bad things happen, you lose a harvest, but that harvest is still standing. This is a sickness in this, whatever, but this is okay. Just look at the grace, and His grace is always, always sufficient. Who can say amen? Now, there's something about this verse that I believe is key for us to access grace. 1 Peter 5:5 comes from Proverbs 3:34, which says, God resists the pride, but He gives grace to the humble. So here's a principle here. Paul is explaining this grace only became sufficient when he realized how weak he is. When he realized his dependence on God. So how many of your clever people out there have, you know, you try so hard, you work it out so hard, you try to mentally this and you try to do the books and it doesn't work. How many have been there? And you try to solve this problem and it just doesn't work. And then there's a moment where you say, Lord Jesus, I help you. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how we're going to overcome this economic problem. I don't know how the money is going to come from. I need you. Come on, people. I don't know how we're going to do this healing thing. I don't know how we're going to overcome this battle. I need you. And there's something, and I know even people who've gone through major addictions will say that you only get free from your addiction when you hit rock bottom. What happens? What, you're only now humble. I've worked with many addicts through my life, and the problem with an addict, he's a professional self-medication expert. He knows exactly what this alcohol do and what that substance do, and they're absolute experts, and you can't help them, because if you say you're going to use this, they say, no, that's not going to work, and you're going to do this, no, that's not going to work. So they have to come to the end of themselves, and to all their self-mastery and all their self-medication and all their self-efforts, so that they can work with God and allow God to be God and to change them. Say amen. Ephesians 2 verse 8 is another famous scripture that we know. And remember, this morning is a way of a means of reminder to just in these difficult times put our eyes on the grace that we already have. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him." To Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 10. Beautiful, beautiful scripture. Guys, whenever things go bad, there's the one thing that I hold on to. I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on now. I remember I always tell the story of Brian on his birthday, and we couldn't give him a cake and we couldn't give him that, and he then said, "Man, I've been saved. My life was a wreck. I was a sinner. I was a bad person. The fact that I now save Jesus is all the gifts, it's all the presents, it's all the favor that I can have." Remember, when you're in a tough time, you feel, where's the favor? Why is all the bad stuff happening to me? I'm telling you this morning, no bad stuff is happening to you. You're saved. Are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. Do you know God? Yes. Does he speak to you? Yes. Do you hear his voice? Yes. Do you have a relationship with God? Yes. So what's your problem? Amen. So I have received grace. I've received abundance of grace. I'm saved. Come on, I want you to say it. Say, I've received abundance of grace. I'm saved. Amen. That means I'm rich, I'm not poor. That means I'm in Jesus, I'm not in whatever, in moeilikheid. But that means it's tussen die boom and die bas. Jy beter uit die plek uitkom, is 'n gevaarlike plek daai. Jy moet glad nie daar bly nie. Ek is in Jesus Christus. I'm in Christ. Now, furthermore, we are his workmanship. So I want you for a moment to just think about all the gifts of the Spirit and all the fruit of the Spirit that you have. Just think for a moment. I have love, I have peace, I have joy. What else? Come on, who knows the fruit list? Love, peace, joy. Oh, a blind spot. Patience, thank you. Goodness. Long suffering is patience. Woo! Faith. Huh? Self-control? Huh? Meekness. All right. Jylle grace vergeet, like it may. So that's a grace. And then we have the gifts of the Spirit. We have tongues and speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, prophecy. We have gifts of knowledge. We have the gift of healing. We have all these wonderful gifts. Say, I'm rich. Now, it's interesting that nowhere in the Bible God did the escaping, or he did the work of the deliverance. Find me a verse. He's always saying to the man with the crooked hand, push out your hand. He could have said, Lord, can't you see I can't move my hand? God says, steek uit your hand. And the moment he started following the command, the hand started healing. He says, take up your bed and walk. The guy says, Kan jy nie sien ek is verlam nie? But you got an instruction, followed instruction, came. Listen, your secret in difficult times is to keep yourself busy with your workmanship. How many know what I'm talking about? Don't go sit it down and become a worrying agent. I've already said, if worrying worked, I'll start a business tomorrow, Warrior CC, PTY Limited, and we start worrying per hour. I pay you, the guys who worries the best gets a bonus. Okay? Worrying doesn't work, but work does. How many know work does? You don't have money. Well, do something. Do something useful. Be a blessing to someone. And the moment you start working, grace comes. How many know? Grace comes when you do. Say amen. Now here's another verse, Titus 2 verse 11. Titus 2 verse 11 is interesting, and this gives perspective to the sermon this morning. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that we might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Let's start in the beginning. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. I want you to understand that God's grace is not for watching TV. God's grace is not for washing your car. God's grace is not for just writing a test better. I need to say this. God's grace is unto holiness, is unto right wiseness. Say amen. And this is where I'm going to treat him just as bad. I'm not going to be messing with me. And God says, you love him. You be kind to him. You go serve him. Who needs grace? God's grace is towards godliness. Say, God's grace is towards godliness. Say, amen. Let me end. Philippians 2 verse 13. It's possibly one of the most beautiful scriptures you should memorize and get into your heads. It says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Philippians 2 verse 13. God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. This is why his grace is scandalous. That's why his grace, we sang this morning, is outrageous. Because when God called us to become Christians, to become followers of Jesus, is physically impossible. But he enables us to do it. He gives us the grace to be like Jesus. He gives us the grace to be holy. Say amen. He gives us the grace to stand tall in the midst of difficult times. He gives us the grace to remain faithful unto him, no matter what we lose and no matter how tough things go. Hebrews 4 verse 16, we all know, it says, come so that we receive mercy and grace to the throne. The throne is a place not of judgment. It's a place to receive grace and to receive mercy. Practically, I want to end and say just some other places that I believe you can find grace. And I call it the wells of grace. First of all, your own calling is a well of grace. How many know that if you remain in the things that only you can do, there's grace? Is when you start doing other people's jobs and you're doing other people's things that you are going through a tough time. Anyone know? There's a grace on your life. Say, there's a grace on my life. So remain in it. The battle that you've not called for, you'll lose. The battle that you've not, that's not your battle. You're not supposed to fight all battles. And you're supposed to be within the things that God told you to do. And another well of grace is this church. A church, a company of people. And it's interesting that Saul could prophesy amongst the prophets. And sometimes being in a certain company of people, there's a grace on this house. Someone said to me this week, and he was beginning to see it, and he says, Umyan, He says, I see this grace in your life, that wherever you go, money follows you. I said, that's the grace in this house. We've never asked for money. We've never made big pleas for money. We ask people to give their offerings faithfully and to serve God through their giving. And we teach on giving every Sunday, not because we want your money. It's because there's a blessing in giving. And we don't want you to miss out. We don't want you to not be part of that blessing. And you know what? God has supplied. And I see in this house this grace for provision. Always been. We started a seed fund in the beginning of the year. In the next couple of weeks, I think we already have around four small little businesses that we are going to look at so that we can begin to help them so they can gain an income and you know, get going with their business income. There's a grace in this house. Say there's a grace in this house. There's a grace in this body. How many know it's true? There's provision here. And so look at that grace. Don't despise it. Sometimes, by God's grace, we also go to other ministries. There's graces on other houses. And sometimes it's important to link with other churches and minister with them. At this moment, we had a team working with the Full Gospel Church, and they've been a blessing because they do things that we don't do. And there's a grace on their house that we receive. And so it's also good to say. Just look next to the person and cake for the old lungs and say, yes, Moses, I'm by a grace. We just forgot it. Now we look at, suffer any here in South Africa. Ooh, this is moeilik om hier te bly. Ooh, it's a hellhole hierdie land van ons. Die krag is af en die dit is weg. Hey, there's a lot of grace. Say amen. It could have been worse. We still have a lot of grace. So, I want you this morning. I remember possibly one of the beautiful expressions of this sermon came from Madame Guyon. She lived in the 16th century and one of my favorite authors. And she used to say the following, and she says, I live by the means of grace. Paul says it better. He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. So I want us this morning, when we stand, we can't work this grace. We can't make it happen. It has already happened because God chose us first. So this morning when we stand, I want you to just with me stand with a heart of deep, deep thankfulness and gratefulness. And as you stand, just begin to say thank you. This is not my grace. I'm not giving it to you. It's not this church's grace. We're not giving it to you. It's His grace. So there where you stand, just start praying out loud and just saying, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for all this grace that I've received. Forgive me for all the times I think in terms of lack. But this morning I acknowledge and I appreciate that there's enough sufficient grace. Come, I want to hear you. Just with me out loud, just say thank you. Say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the grace of the Lord in my life. Forgive me of all the moments when I was going into self-pity and I was going into feeling sorry for myself. And forgive me of those feelings. You've opened my eyes that there's enough grace. There's enough grace. There's sufficient, sufficient grace. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your goodness. Come, raise your hands in a moment. Just say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I humble myself to receive even more grace. While you are standing there, say, Lord, I need more grace. I humble myself this morning. I come this morning and I say, Lord, if it's not your grace, I'm not going to make it. Show me, reveal to me, point me, direct me, move me, Father, in the things that you want us to move in. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Chantal, would you just come and pray?
Thank you, Lord, that there is grace